This episode of Before the Train Wreck podcast is brought to you by the Grondike Soap Company. Guys, I use Tactical Soap and God of War Beard Oil every single day. Tactical Soap is a handmade natural product made in the United States of America from ingredients you can actually pronounce, not endocrine disrupting chemicals that are going to lower your testosterone. Both the soap and beard oil is infused with bioidentical pheromones that are designed by a clinical psychologist and pheromone expert to maximize attractiveness to the opposite sex. Go visit coopersoap.com and that will automatically apply 10% off your order. Consider grabbing one of the trifecta packs to save even more. If you are a bearded man and want a majestic beard like yours truly, the God of War Beard Oil is hands down the best beard oil product I've ever used. Gentlemen, this is the most manly, handmade soap that we know of. Other soaps are going to get you clean. This one will get you dirty. Again, you're going to want to visit coopersoap.com now and place your order. That's Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, soap.com now. All right, gents, we are live. Episode number 37, Before the Train Wreck. And we're kicking off on the topic of, or the debate or the discussion, if you will, on can you train women? Joined today by Aaron Cleary, Captain Asshole himself. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
So Sean's off this week, so I figured I'd ask you guys last week who I should get to fill in. There was a lot of interest in having Aaron hop on, so this will be an interesting one. I'm going to post in the chat right now the join link. I got Josh screening calls, so the way it'll work to try to create a better experience for you guys watching is you're going to click through. Josh will basically screen the call, make sure your audio is working, your camera's solid, you have a good question, and then he'll give you the link to join in the waiting room to ask the question over here. So hopefully you guys on the viewing end or listening to the podcast afterwards will enjoy this a lot more. Show today is brought to you by Grondike Soap, Tactical Soap, and Beard Oil. Talk more about that towards the end. But kicking off, Aaron, let's just kind of shoot the shit a little bit about this training women. What's your position on that? Because some people say, yeah, you can train women to be the ideal, you know, woman in your life and compliment your life and not be the focus and yada, yada, yada. There's other guys that say, you know, you want to enforce boundaries. What's your position on that? I'm curious.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I just think that today, especially the younger you are, you really don't have a choice but to train women. And for two main reasons. One, the women of today are completely trained to, they're trained to be the opposite, essentially, of a traditional woman, a wife, long-term girlfriend, whatever. So if you want that, you're going to have to deprogram them and then reprogram. The other thing is it's more of an actuarial take or viewpoint, and that because in part of their training that they did get through the state, their parents, the school, there are so few of them. I mean, yes, you can set boundaries. There's absolutely, you know, and you should, but you can really increase your statistics if you're willing to do some training and put in the effort. And I'd say you almost have to, because the number of marriageable and long-term quality girls out there is just so small that you want every tool you can possibly have in your toolbox. And so I'm not against, it's not an if or a mutually exclusive, but I would not discount training as a viable tool to have in your toolbox.
How much work would you do? I hate the word training because I feel like we're talking about dogs now. I think I did a video at one point and I was like, don't bother training women, just put some boundaries up and kind of navigate around that. But like, how much work in the sense of train, like where do you draw the line of, okay, this is too much work?
When your opportunity cost, I'd say, is like, you could probably find one better, because I've dated gals in the past where, not that I thought it was training or cognizantly knew what I was doing, but it just became too much work where it's like, there's the door. No, we're not doing this. No, we're not doing it. It almost became like you're dealing with a child that is just not listening or heeding what you want. Like the first sign I would say is that the gal does it because she loves you or she wants to be with you or work towards a relationship. If you got to tell the gal, for the eighth freaking time, I don't know, choose, talk to married men, they must have it. No, we're not getting an SUV, or no, we're not doing X, or you're not doing ABC. No, you're not going back for your master's in English. If you got to say it three times, she ain't listening. And I then throw in the towel. And, you know, you try to, you can be logical, reasonable, sit down, have an adult talk. You can do hints. Those really don't work. But then inevitably there comes a time that, no, this is, we need to talk about this. And if we disagree, that's fine. But there's the door. I'm on my way out, and you can go find somebody who wants to allow you to get your master's degree in English. So I don't think there's like this hard rule, like where you'd throw in the towel, but I'd say three strikes and you're out, especially on important things like finances, and things like that. If she likes sushi and you don't, I think you can live with that. But, major things are going to affect you as a couple: finances, education, major purchases, where to live, life goals. That's where, you know, you certainly want to take their input as well. But, if you have to tell them three times, yeah, I'd say it's time to pull the plug.
Yeah. I mean, I like to keep it to a bare minimum. My feeling about it is there's guys out there that'll sell you courses, how to train the perfect woman. And, you know, for 7 easy installments or whatever, or maybe buy it now for 99 cents. But, like, that's not going to get you very much in the way of use. I think that the best way to approach this dynamic of trying to, I mean, let's call it molding, you know, molding a better mate or a better woman for you, is one to demonstrate through your actions rather than having to lecture or, you know, let's bring out the whiteboard and connect the dots and all that stuff. At some point, every guy's going to do that, you know, when it comes to the relationships with women. I've seen it done. I've probably done some version of it in the past too, but by setting boundaries by your actions and the choices that you make every day, anything that gets pushed back, it's just like, there's different ways to handle it. So I'll give an example. So if you have a boundary around, let's say something like soliciting the attention of people on social media, you're using Instagram, Facebook, social media to get eyeballs on your pictures, and they're all beauty shots and stuff like that, and you're looking for that. You set that boundary and it's crossed. You don't lecture about it. You don't have a long drawn out debate over it. You just soft next them, right? You just put some space between you and the next time you see her. And when she starts questioning, like, hey, I miss you, or I'd like to talk to you about this, or why aren't you responding to me, sort of thing, the message should be quite clear that they crossed the line. You know, you get out of life what you tolerate, right? That's one of the things that I love to tell guys all the time. You're always going to get out of life what you tolerate. If you tolerate mediocrity, if you tolerate somebody always crossing your bottom line, you're always going to get it, right? And at some point, you're going to have to put yourself in a position where, I mean, you got to look at it from this perspective. Everybody's replaceable. Employees are replaceable. Your customers are replaceable. Women, friends, everything. Everybody is replaceable. The minute that you look at a woman, a female, as she's the only one, or you pedestalize her, or you put her up on a pedestal for whatever reason, you're going to make concessions in your value system. Yeah.
Yeah. But my question would be this: when you say a soft boundary, is this and then if she doesn't text you back, this is presumably in the initial dating stage. You're not even, maybe you're just flirting and kind of, I think it would be, you'd start using, we use boundaries no matter what, and training more as you get along into the relationship with an eject, you know, finger on the eject button in case there's something unacceptable. But the problem, I think, with boundaries, is that the longer you go into a relationship, the less effective it's going to be, because it makes great sense if you're dating and you're not committed and you're still on a trial phase or a testing phase, because you say, I prefer you not to have that kind of social media if we're, and then she goes on the social media and posts a bunch of pics and gets a bunch of pictures. The problem with that, especially given thirst, especially given the ratio, and especially given the scarcity, of where, again, we're talking marriage material, traditional gals, they'll just go find it somewhere else. Like, oh, okay, Rich didn't want me to have my Instagram. Well, screw him and F that, because I'm a woman, blah, 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 blah. She'll go find somebody else who will tolerate it. Or maybe he doesn't tolerate it, but he'll do a soft boundary as well. And she will jump the carousel the entire time until wall, and we've all gone over it before. And I think women are, especially again, going back to the amount of training and indoctrination they've received, they'll what? You don't like, well, don't you effing tell me, and da da da, and I'm gonna, and they will go to the wall. So I think it really is, you know, if you are a traditional old school guy and you're a young man, especially, and I've seen them, you know, friends, colleagues, clients, where they're traditional, they're religious, they want to find a wife and they want to have kids. And it's a hard order to fill. And it's like, okay, man, you gotta play hardball with these gals. Because if you want to start having kids, you don't have time. Time is a precious resource. They don't have time because tickety-tock. So, I mean, you can do soft boundaries, but I'm afraid one of the main drawbacks of that is if you're looking for a committed relationship, they're just going to go to the next guy who's going to roll over and bend over more than you did. And so, I, again, two tools, when to use them, when not to use the other, really, and it also depends on your goals.
Yeah, and that's totally okay. I mean, they're going to bounce. That's really the whole point of dating several women in a non-monogamous fashion, aka spinning plates. Sean Smith put out a video on that the other day. You should check it out on his channel, but I'm just going to use that term here, you know, as a placeholder. But you guys get the point, right? I mean, it's not working out. See ya. Sayonara. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out. You know, there's plenty of other opportunities out there. Besides, if you're a man on your mission, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's going to be somebody else that's going to fill that gap at some point in the future, especially if you're putting a dent in the universe, making bank, you're chasing your excellence. Women will show up. They just will. Again, guys, the show tonight, it's, you know, before the train wreck, this is starting to look like playing not to lose. So I do another show every other Thursday night called Playing to Win. Which is, of course, conversations about chasing excellence. And these are conversations to help guys avoid making a train wreck out of their life. So guys, if you're calling in, make sure you have a legit question about something like this. This is not the How to Get Girls show. That's the other show. It's out there somewhere else. Aaron and I will not be having those conversations. We just chatted about that before we kicked off. But let's throw on Camardo. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but yo, you are up.
Hey, Rich. What's up, man? Long time.
How you doing? You got a question for us?
Yeah, so it's more like I'd say I somewhat agree with they can be trained, because if you think about it, can't men be trained? And here's the reason I say that. I do agree with you, the setting boundaries thing. But in what's the question? Let me articulate this much better, because I had this prepared. Okay, so wouldn't you say, right, in your opinion, that when you set certain boundaries and say, okay, I don't appreciate this and that, wouldn't that be kind of training the young woman, so to speak?
As long as it's a boundary, yeah. You know, it's a form of training. But where I have a problem with it is where you start to lecture her about certain steps and procedures and processes that have to take place. And there's certain things that you let go, right? I mean, I have a certain way that I like to load the dishwasher. It ain't a big deal. If she loads it slightly differently than me, I'll just fix it because I know it's going to clean it better the way that I sort it out, right? But okay. Boundaries around things that are significant, like Aaron talks about, like the McMansion, or what you're going to do with your studies, or how you use social media. Do you use it to promote your business, or using it to promote yourself to get attention from other guys, sort of thing, right? You know, the critical things that matter, right? And it's just enforcing those and making sure that you're comfortable walking away and saying no, or that's not cool, right?
Oh, okay.
I would almost add there's going to be, no matter what, like unconscious training. I mean, that's happening because you have two people interacting with each other. So quote unquote, you're going to influence one another and quote train them. But where the line has to be drawn, as Rich pointed out, in my opinion, once it becomes laborious and there's the disrespect, you could almost say the boundary is respect my wishes on some key important things that govern this relationship. And if they don't respect that boundary, which is like, hey, this is a rule, this is something that we gotta, then yeah, by all means, you know, pull the plug, get out of Dodge, onto the next one.
Yeah. I see your point, because if I had to compare a girl I was dating before and the one I was dating now, The one before, I think I trained her to be disrespectful by allowing certain things. That's before I found, you know, Rich's channel and Coach Red Pill and all those other guys and started to watch and took information from here and there. And I realized something that, yeah, you do have to set boundaries. You do have to say what you like and don't like. And you explain the consequences just one time. I don't think you need to be lecturing over and over again. They're sentient beings. If they can't get it, yeah. Just
and that's
bail.
The thing, and that's the thing exactly. You know, you lay it out once and then she crosses that line again. That's where you put some space between you and her. That's where you have the opportunity to leave the room, to leave her place, you know, leave the event. And, you know, when the question comes up, well, what'd you do that for? It's like, I thought I made it clear this is a line that we're not crossing, sort of thing, right?
Yeah. And if she does that, she obviously doesn't respect you. And to me, watching your channel, I've realized something. Love is fickle. What I prefer more is if the girl respects me. Respect goes a long way. Respect goes longer than love, in my opinion.
Yeah, one of the things that you got to understand about respect, too, is women don't respect weak men.
Exactly.
Right? So if you're weak, if you yield to her pushing into your boundaries, if you're not on some kind of purpose that is leading you towards a path of excellence or a better version of yourself in 6-12 months time sort of thing, they're not going to respect whatever boundaries you put up. They're constantly going to shit test you, right? And that's one of the things that women are always going to do, is they're always going to push through those boundaries to see if you're a competent enough man to stand firm, sit up straight with your shoulders back and say, no, it doesn't work like that, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just going to say, I mean, think of the opposite of training. You wouldn't like it. And Camardo points it out is respect. You know, talk about, okay, how about support? I mean, what we'd all like is to have a gal that supports you, you know, the captain first mate type of situation where I got to go with, I mean, you never saw Spock and Kirk nag one another or argue. It was like, we're going this way. Why? Because there's green hot alien chicks with great cans over here. Spock would, sir, is that wise? But he'd still inevitably support them. And man, you want to talk about the litmus test. It's what few percentage of women actually support you. And you're already redlining it if you got to go into training. But man, if you could find one that supports you, like, yeah, it sounds great. How can I help? You almost like want to, are you real?
Oh, you know, I'm actually at that stage because there's one I'm talking to. Oh yeah, Rich, you remember that talk we had about, you know, it was a long time ago about when you said, what do I lose time doing? It's the music thing. Mm-hmm. I went and got the MIDI keyboard here. Mm-hmm. So I've been working on that, and that has been my focus. And I said I want to make a beat like every day, and she checks in and she's like, oh, did you make a beat today? And I'm like, no, that's what I'm working on. And then she'll be like, oh, okay. She doesn't try to suck all of my attention to her. She's like, okay. She understands that if I succeed, we as a team succeed. She gets that. I'm not saying she's a unicorn because, like you said, there are no unicorns, but she is supportive.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just make sure you don't fall into the pattern of qualifying for her by, like, you know, hey, did you make a beat today? And it's like, dude, you don't need to answer to her, right?
That's true.
You know, if you're making the beat tomorrow, you make it tomorrow, right? But as soon as you start bending the knee to her, you're putting yourself in a weaker position.
That's true. But yeah, sometimes she contacts me and I'm like, nah, I didn't make a beat today. I just didn't feel like it. Because it's not every day I feel like it.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to answer to that, right? You know, you'll get to it when you get to it. You know, if it's not a priority, maybe you're on something else that's more important.
Yeah. Right? And man, again, thank you for that advice. Because I've been realizing more and more I've been thirsty more for excellence. There are women throwing themselves at me, which is weird. The moment I started focusing on excellence, that's the time they start coming. And I really don't have time for that. I realize that now. I just want to get this music business off the ground.
Good.
That's my focus right now.
Focus on that, brother. All right, man.
All right. Take care.
Catch
up. Best of luck.
All right. The join link is just posted. Josh Courtleave is taking the screen area. So click through. He's going to make sure your question's solid. Your audio is good. Take care of that. I got a few other people in the waiting queue. When you've asked your question, just please remove yourself and just watch live from the channel. Georgia, you're up.
Hey there.
What's up, man?
So today I have two questions. Like, you know, second one's from here. So let's go to the first question. So first question is like this. You know, I know Richard said that juice is not worth the squeeze, right? Something like along the line that So if, I mean, it's not worth it, like, why should we bother about, you know, training good women or something like that? Why should we care?
Well, you have to decide if the juice is worth the squeeze, right? Like, what are you trying to qualify here? Like, what are we talking about?
I mean, you know, for
like, this- there's a certain amount of work that's involved. Like, I just finished an Clementine here, right? So if I were to squeeze it, there's a certain amount of energy that I've got to put into to get the juice out of it. And then I'm going to extract that after I've exerted the energy and I'm going to drink it. And if the, you know, if the taste is good, if the nutrients are good and I've enjoyed it, then the juice is worth the squeeze sort of thing, right? So there's always going to be a certain amount of work you're going to have to put in anything, including any kind of interaction you have with women. So what sort of juice are we talking about here?
I mean, kind of, you know, it becomes, I mean, it feels like a job, right? You know, people are, you know, women gathered here, like how to, you know, train women, right? It feels like, you know, you have to do certain tasks and it feels like it's like a job already to do it and to try. Why should you bother? Like, why is it worse? Like, to me personally, like, it's just absolutely a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, there's certain scenarios where the juice is not worth the squeeze. Broke women, women with crap degrees, women with kids in tow from prior marriages, all kinds of stuff, right? Like, there's certain components of interactions that I would just like pass on. Like, what do you look at for that, Aaron?
Well, single moms, overweight. Let me count the ways: worthless degrees, daddy's not around, broken family. I mean, these are your main ones that you can just look and say, I don't want that.
It's like
I don't
an want automatic that. Dismissal, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's an automatic. And is there probably one? You don't have the time. But yeah, it's kind of those would be the main ones. But inevitably, you gotta get boots on the ground and date them. Because there's a lot of other demons that are going to come out, and we're not even talking about boundaries or training at this stage. It's just you're there to watch them and observe their behavior a little bit, and a lot of them will disqualify themselves with you even having to broach a debate of, well, do I set a boundary? They'll self dismissal themselves anyway. But after you date them a little bit, and you know, depending on where you want to go, and yes, you could have a bullpen of women or spinning plates, and you can go ahead and be very hands off, which is very economically efficient with your time. And not that you want to spend a lot of time training, it's a lot easier. But if all of a sudden there's a gal and you think you're going to spend more time with her because you want to, you don't have to, like, here's your training regimen and your 40 rules you got to follow, but you know, a little bit of like, what are you going to do? Like, hey, let's go for a run. That's something that, like, you're not saying you must go for a run, but let's go for a run. See how that, and then you assess the return on investment there. If she, well, I don't really like running, or I don't like, well, let's go work out. Or, hey, you know, you go out for dinner. Like, hey, let's go to the Asian bowl place, the poke bowl place, because it's healthy. No, I like going to Chipotle and getting a lot of carbs. Then it's kind of, you could scale back, but it all depends on and whether you want to get more involved with the gal before whether you want to actually start pulling out training.
Does that make sense, Georgie?
Yeah, and I'll go to the second question from the book. So it's from like Bachelor's of Economics. You know, like, it's very unusual advice, right? It says, like, the only thing that matters in life is other humans. Mm-hmm. You know, usually, you know, we hear, you know, a lot of speakers say that only person that matters in life is you, and you should care for yourself, and you are the champion, and whatever. Like, this is what you hear usually. And, you know, when I first read this, you know, rest of the, you know, explanation here, it's like kind of like very weird. Like, the only thing that matters, like, other humans or like yourself.
Right. Well, it's kind of like, who's more important, the parents or the kids? The parents love their kids more, but without the parents, the kids are dead, or they're going to go into foster care and you're not going to see them. So there's this implied, you must love yourself and take care of yourself. Like, just because I love other human beings doesn't mean I give the bum on the street my food. Also, there's a huge qualifier in that statement. Most people suck. I hate most people. I'm a misanthrope. Like, a place got nuked. Was it a communist country? Well, too bad for them. I'm very much dislike people. And people have always asked me, well, how do you reconcile it? You seem to hate people. Like, not only do I seem it, I really do. Then how hey, humans are the most important thing. It's like, it's these very, very, very few people in your life. I mean, we're talking the statistics of women empirically based on my dating. It's less than 1% of women are marriageable. That's just been my experience. But we could also apply this to friends. There are so few friends that stick around after the age of 30, certainly 35, 40. You just, hello, anybody? Family members that don't fuck up. Even something as good as a reliable boss or coworkers. Like if you got a great working environment. Oh, that's one thing I probably missed the most in my past was this great working environment. I was working with all these great people and at security, no less. So those very, very few people are the ones that give you value in life because they're so precious and they're so rare. And not only because they're so precious and so rare, but you can have the McMansion, you can have all the material things in the world. It is not dynamic. It's not what I call, they're not infinite. I'm trying to look, I got, my Xbox 360, my little, so it's nice. I have fun with it. But that video game is only going to be programmed to have so much interaction. It really doesn't interact with you. Even when you play video games, you're playing against who predominantly? Other people. So you're still interacting with other people because it's more fun. So that's why I still say other humans are the most important thing, and not at the expense of you, because you got to take care of yourself to be around to enjoy them. But yeah, by all means, like the bum on the street begging for more of my money because he didn't pay his college degree or majored in kitten studies. No, screw him. I don't like him at all.
I just wanted to make mention of a comment here. And for some reason, StreamYard's not letting me post comments to the screen. They're not populating on the screen, but I can see them over here. But James made a reference to an analogy that I've quoted before between the sail and the anchor thing. If she's your, if she's your anchor, you cut her loose and let her sink. If she's a sail, you keep her on deck because she's bringing you forward, sort of thing, right? Like that's how you're distinguishing, between the two when it comes to your original comment.
So to clarify, this thing, so when you say that's the only thing that's in life, other humans, you mean those, a minority people in your life that, truly may bring some sort of value in your life or just make you feel better? Or what do you mean by that?
Both. I mean, these are friends, loved ones. Like, for example, it wasn't me. The masculine geeks had a true, nomad, digital nomad. He was telling about the lifestyle and what, like, don't do it. I don't speak the language. I don't know anybody here. You go to the expat community, you're not really experiencing anything different. And you get lonely. I will testify to that too. Me and all my motorcycle adventuring and hiking and this and that. It was great. But it gets tiring. And what I find more and more is like, I want to come back home and I want to play with my little nieces. I want to hide candy for them and I want to play ball with them. I miss my girlfriend, of which I'm not ashamed to admit. I like my girlfriend. I'm my parents. Every once in a while, I want to see my old man. And you can climb mountains. You can go on adventures. There's nothing wrong. You can go sailing. There's a lot of things you can do. But inevitably, what you'll find out is it is one way. It's a hobby. And unless there's another person there, you will tire of it. If for any other reason, you got to tell somebody else about it. I mean, you can be a great guitarist. Musicians are very passionate about their music. But what good is it if they can't share it with other human beings? And so I think, we could all be on Mars with the greatest technology and have everything that could possibly stimulate you. But if there isn't somebody to talk to. And to have a relationship with, I'm afraid you're going to become like Tom Hanks in not the Wilson story. What was it where you had his buddy Wilson, the volleyball?
Castaway.
Castaway.
Yeah, the volleyball.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's inevitably what you're going to become. So I still, try it. If you don't believe me, go be a hermit for a solid month. No human interaction and see what happens. See what happens.
That's not something I subscribe to, like, okay. Heavy. That's not. So, Rich, I want to kind of hear your thoughts about it. What do you think?
Say that again?
So, what do you think about, like, the most important, the only thing that matters in life is other humans? Like, we know that, like, Rolo said, in the last podcast, right? Make yourself your mental point of origin, right? Mm-hmm. It was a play to win Yeah. So, you know, kind of when I first read it, I started to think like, oh man, I mean, so I have to put first other humans and mix myself. You know, that's the place where I got confused.
Well, you'll find as a guy, well, I did anyway, you know, I found as a guy for the better part of my life, I spent a lot of time and effort and energy and resources, even in my business, putting other people first. And that doesn't work very well. It doesn't work very well if you put yourself second, third, fourth, or anything like that. Because, I mean, first of all, you're not that useful to other people if you're not the best version of what you can be. And it's not that fulfilling if you're filling up other people's dreams. I mean, there's a world of people out there right now that are currently married to fulfill the dreams of a woman that they fell for and pedestalized, only to find out 7 to 10 years later she's banging Kevin from sales, sort of thing. And you know, she's taking the kids and he's getting divorced, raped through court, and now he's living in his mom's basement. You know, like, you've really got to make sure that you emphasize the whole mental point of origin thing. I think that's incredibly important, and it's underemphasized for most men today, right? They're always putting, like, other people first. I mean, I've done it in so many places and in so many different areas of my life, like I said, everywhere. And when you start putting yourself first and you start feeling better about what you're doing, and also people respect you more and you have better interaction with people, that's the most important thing. I mean, if somebody sees that you value yourself, you value your time, you value what you do, you value your place in the world, then they're also going to echo that same sentiment. But if you treat yourself like shit, if you don't have a very high opinion of yourself, what do you think people are going to do? They're going to treat you exactly the way that you treat yourself, right?
Yeah.
Cool?
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for hopping on tonight. Catch up with you later. All right, we got a few more people waiting in the queue. The link's there. It just says in the last comment, got a question tonight, ask us live. There's a StreamYard link there. Josh will screen the call just to make sure your audio and everything's solid. Captain Crunch, you're up next. How you doing, man?
Hey, Aaron. Hey, Rich. How are you?
Hey, Cap.
Hey. So I have one question. I'm 24 years old, and I've been dating my girlfriend for 2 years now. And now the discussion has, you know, transitioned to, hey, let's move in together, especially because right now I'm living at home still. So I wanted to hop on and ask a question. Can I get some advice on if I'm going to move out, should I move out and live by myself or move out and live with my girlfriend of 2 years?
Why would you live with her?
Sorry?
Why would you live with her? You guys planning on getting married in the next few months?
Honestly, like, I don't see myself marrying her. But she's a good girl, like, and right now I enjoy my time with her.
Have you ever lived on your own? I'm still loading up bullets into my gun, frankly. Cap, have you ever lived on your own?
No. Well, I have, like, yeah. A month here, there.
No, on so many levels. No, because you haven't lived on your own. No, because this is probably your first crush, and hell to the no, because, like, that is not a ringing endorsement of you ever getting married or committing to this girl. And no, you're going to sacrifice knowing who you are and what you can possibly be if you move in with this girl because you've never been on your effing own. And even if you don't understand why me and Rich are saying that, and she's got the greatest set of cans ever, and you are addicted to her hoo-ha, no, still no, even though you don't understand, because then when you're 30, you'll look back and say, oh God, thank God. So even if you don't understand why we're telling you no, don't do it. So either still live at home or live on your own. And I'd recommend nobody get married or live with a girl until you have lived on your own for years on end.
So I just pulled it up while Aaron was ranting at you and pointing his pistol. The 9 Iron Rules of Tomasi is on my channel. Just search for that. I can't remember which one it is here, but it's definitely in this list. You do not want to live with a woman. You lose so much. Hang on, where is it? Self-deprecate. This one here, number 4. So at the 30-minute mark, there's a shortcut to each rule. So just search for the video and then watch it. It's like a 15-minute segment where it's all broken down. But to distill it for just frame, there's nothing in it for you. I mean, the problem that guys face, and I did it too in my 20s, was I thought, oh, girls smell nice, so let's just live with them, and there's lots of access to sex, and maybe they'll still cook every once in a while, and my friends will think my life is awesome. And you just rationalize all this dumb shit in your head, right? And then what ends up happening is you lose a lot of control of the frame in the relationship. You're definitely not getting more sex than what you got before you were not living together. The level or the depth of the sex you're going to have is going to be a lot weaker. I mean, like, one of the things that happens with competition anxiety when you live separately is when you have time apart, and there's been lots of scientific studies done on this. There's lots of books on Evo Psych that have written on this. But when there's distance between you and her, the kind of sex that you have is always far better when you have time apart, right? What ends up happening, a lot of guys that'll tell you that have lived with women for a while is they end up having hall sex, which just means that you pass each other in a hallway and you're like, fuck you, sort of thing, right? So, like, there's no benefit to it for you. Either live with roommates, you know, as friends, or if you need to get out of the parents' house, get your own place. But I would definitely not, under the pain of it, like, there's no circumstance under which I could think this would work for you. Unless you're planning on getting married, and why the hell would you do that in this retarded world where family law would destroy men? You don't even sound like you want to get married to this chick, so what's the point in living with her? Just because it's convenient?
Got it. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, man. Okay.
I just add one more thing before we take the next caller. I think maybe it was you and Dr. Sean were talking about it on one of the episodes, but did he bring up something like going through hardship? How you come out of it determines what kind of man you are in, at the end of that. And one of the most basic forms of hardship is being an adult who supports himself, especially for men. And if he goes and lives with this girl, you know, straight from his parents, he is doing life on easy mode, or thinks he is. It's going to become a lot harder down the road. But he just has to live on his own and figure out who the heck he is, because he's constantly surrounded by people. Much as you might love your folks, you got to get out and strike on your own, guys.
Yeah, there's a super chat here from Adadada Waxa. I'm not doing that right, but thanks for that. But he's asking, if you wanted kids, how would you proceed in 2019? That's a great question. Why don't you click the join link and just ask Josh just mentioned that. But like, there's too many variables to even try to answer that one sentence in this broadcast. So it's one of those things that would be far better off if you joined in. Logan, I'm going to throw you in. You're up next. Can you hear us okay?
I don't think he's got good internet.
Logan? Maybe just kill the video so you get the audio, because it looks like it's not picking it up. Try that. Can you hear us okay? In 3, 2, come on, man. Work with us here. All right, I'm going to pull you out of the broadcast. See if you can fix that while we're waiting. Let me know in the private chat. Going back to this question from this guy that was asking about kids, how would you proceed in 2019? Let's say that you're the younger version of Captain Capitalism.
Well, you're asking me when you're the dad?
I'm asking you. I'll chime in a minute after that, but I want to hear what your thoughts are.
I have not thought about it much, because I had a vasectomy like 13 years ago. I absolutely did not want kids. So how would I have kids today? I'd build up a fair amount of money. You'd have to make sure you got the right gal, because I'd like the kid's mother to be around, stable nuclear family. That alone will take years, if not a decade, to find if you're lucky. And a lot of training, by the way, and some boundaries too, maybe. And then I'd move to a small town where I'd be working on the internet or something, and I'd raise them in a wholesome American community town where the nuclear family is still the thing. We'd have Andy Griffith-like talks and Dr. Heathcliff Huxtable moral lessons with my kids. I'd be, you know, we would have conversations. Either the wife or I stay at home to raise the kid, depending on who makes more money. But yeah, I mean, that it in short, it'd be how quickly can we get back to the 1950s? But yeah, I haven't thought much more about it than that. But yeah, I wouldn't frankly have a kid in 2019.
Yeah. So to add to that and take some stuff away, I, I mean, if you're going to do that, you want to be the one working and she stays home. So I don't agree with men staying home, because that just turns women off at some point. First and foremost, you want to live somewhere where if there is a divorce, there's default shared custody. There's certain places in the world where that currently exists. You're going to have to check with a family lawyer. I haven't done my research in all the states and provinces around the world, frankly. I mean, if you want to have kids, this is something that you should research for yourself. So live in a place where family law is default shared custody. The only time that another parent gets custody over the other parent in environments like that is if one can prove that the other is like a degenerate loser, i.e. a pimp, a cocaine dealer, you know, something like that. But there are places that exist like that. One, you know, add to that, you want to go through a pretty good length of time in the honeymoon phase, where you spend a couple of years just watching their behavior, see how they deal with stress. You know, one of the things that Sean talks about in his book, and that's the other thing, you want to read Sean Smith's Tactical Guide to Women, because he talks about the dark triad traits, the bright triad traits, you know, how to vet for personality traits that are potentially problematic, which have ended up in his practice that he's seen. So all of those things are incredibly important, but the 2-year thing really will expose issues in the relationship, and specifically with her. And of course, you know, immediate dismissal for things like she brings kids to the table from prior marriages, relationships, different men, broke, stupid degrees, makes bad choices in life, covered in tats, obese. Like, these are all just immediate dismissals, boom, 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 sort of thing. And even then, guys, women always reserve the right to change their mind at any given time. I had a coaching call at one point with this guy that thought he did it all right. He went through the vetting phase. He married a good Mormon woman. He, you know, she was conservative values, blah, 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 fill in the blanks. And at some point during the course of marriage, she got a job working for some government body. She was indoctrinated, you know, with feminism. They go through the divorce machine, and lo and behold, she uses every trick in the book to extort money from him, gain control of the child, and alienate him from the child as well. And he didn't see it coming, because he thought that he married a good Mormon woman that had, you know, church values and blah, 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 fill in the blank. You know, same thing with her family, intact family, no tattoos, no obesity, didn't take a stupid degree in school. You know, you fill in all the blanks. It's incredibly risky. And like Aaron said, I wouldn't do it today. I don't see much benefit. There's, you know, with 1% of women being marriageable, it's highly unlikely that you're going to be that successful. Logan sounds like he's got his audio working, so let's try him again. How you doing, man? Logan? He says, getting on Wi-Fi, I think I'm good, but I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, here, it looks better.
There we go. We have video.
I think he's muted.
No, you're not muted.
He's not muted.
No. You're not working, dude.
Maybe he's a mute. Maybe we just can't hear him.
Take your headphone out and just do it without the headset. See if that gets your audio working. I've seen somebody have an issue with that before. Just unplug the headphones. Now you're getting no audio whatsoever, dude. All right, see if you can sort that out. Let me know in the chat if you get it working. Maybe just here. I'll put the join link again for Josh in the chat. So click that, join that. He'll check your audio to verify it's working, and then he'll send you back in. But guys, make sure your signal's good and you got a headphone and everything's tickety-boo before you come on. We're a little slow on the queue for questions tonight. So let's go in the chat here and see what we got. I saw a few super chats. Did you catch anything that we missed there, Aaron?
Like in the chat, I haven't been following the chats, but you mean like our conversation of training and all?
Yeah.
I just would say it's not like I'm cheering for training. Nobody wants to become the dog whisperer. and I mean, nobody wants it. I mean, do you think Ward had to train June? Or don't you think June's ma raised her right? And hey, there's going to be this nice guy who comes back from World War II and help him out. I mean, there's this whole infrastructure of training that went into preparing young women to more or less be wives and mothers. Mm. And that is so long ago and is not the case. I'd even say they've weaponized women. Mm-hmm. And they've certainly, I like to say that women, all women today, or most women today, want to have kids and want to get married, but very few of them want to be mothers and want to be wives. And so on the face of it, you know, at least at their policy statement, when they do, you know, life happiness surveys or what do you want out of life, they all want to get married and they all want to have kids. But very few of them are trained. And if not, they're all adversarial. And I don't know the numbers because it's really hard to suss out. But based on the younger guys I talked to and the finger on the pulse, so few of these women are actually trained to be marriage material. That I don't, you really don't have a choice, but you are going to have to face down the brainwashing these women have received with some counter training of your own. Or, and I've seen it happen, it can happen if the girl just has a mad crush on you. Very commonly, especially you younger boys listening out there, you're going to have nothing but leftists to date, not to bring politics into it, but it's usually antithetical to a traditional household and more of a conservative traditional family. And it doesn't matter if you might be leaning right, your choice as a young person today is predominantly leftist women. I've seen women, though, throw that out the door. They could come pounding in. What happened to me? Why do you have a gun? Why do you have it? Well, then all of a sudden she really liked me, and then she wanted to go shooting guns. And maybe, you know, Ronald Reagan wasn't Hitler himself reincarnated. It will happen if you are whatever. You give her the tingles. You're the true alpha male in her eyes. But that's very rare. It shows it's possible because you're talking kind of the not taming of the shrew. My Fair Lady, you're taking a really rough street girl. Now I'm not talking a whore, but in the olden days when My Fair Lady came out, you're taking this really rough looking young lady that has potential and turning her into My Fair Lady. We're still talking very small percentages and statistics. But that is kind of the task you're looking in front of you, given the amount. We're talking trillions of dollars throughout all the Western world and how many decades of day in, day out school and then college and then media and then television and then politics. Even now, more recently, this addiction corporations have to virtue signaling for rah, rah, women, you can have it all. It's been turned up for 15, and it's been like that since the 70s. What counter training has gone into, has a dollar even been dropped, a minute even been spent in these ladies' environments telling them what's required to make a man happy or to be a good mom? And that's why I reluctantly have to, I think training is almost going to be non-negotiable at some point along the time. Now you might get lucky and the gal likes you and she's just, okay, whatever. Yeah, let's have the babies. I have a buddy. he took a party girl and he's like, well, why would I? No, you got to do it. You got to get off your drugs. You got to, you know, you're going to do this and you're not going to do that. And you're going to get out of debt. And she did it. She now bows down and worships his feet. But this guy is just he's an Adonis. He's a good looking guy and makes a ton of money. It's going to be very, very, very rare. So I, unfortunately, you know, don't throw away, go to Home Depot, get the training tool and put it in your toolbox. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah. It's an exhaustive process. There's no doubt about it, man. There's no easy way to say it. It's an exhaustive process. It's just not, you know, juice is not worth the squeeze a lot of the time.
Yeah. Nothing is easy in life. I mean, every great once in a while, you might, you know, an apple might fall from heaven. You get some manna from heaven. But for the most part, anything where it's going to take effort, guys, your degree, your career, the gym and girls, they're not served up on a silver platter because a third of the young eligible bachelors got killed in World War I. And we got to have a war for that. A lot of us would have to die. And then maybe the dynamics would change.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think it's easier for a man in today's world to make $1 million versus...
Are we adjusted for inflation or...
Well, let's talk about today. So it's 2019. You think it's easier for a guy to create a business or do something that would make him $1 million versus find a ideal... Let's just throw in the term ideal woman, you know, loosely, just to put it as a placeholder.
Absolutely. Way more, because you control way more variables, your work ethic, your return on investment, your efficacy. There's no one, and even when I made the transition from corporate to self-employment, the one thing there ain't anybody there telling you no, or you waiting on them. Like, you want it done? We decided. I mean, I have the most efficient meetings with myself, Richard. It's amazing how many people are on the same page, and what a great boss I have, and what a great employee I have. I have the greatest boss and employee ever. It's way more. It's not only more efficient than chasing tail, it's more efficient than corporate employment.
It's a far more efficient use of your time. So guys that are out there going, well, how do I train the perfect woman, or how do I mold the perfect woman? All of those questions that you're asking the wrong question. You should be asking, how do I make $1 million this year? Because that, my friend, is going to have more of an impact in your universe. Plus, it's going to make you more attractive to women. Plus, it'll give you more options when it comes to choosing women, because you'll be at the top shelf, right? That should be the way to look at it, in my estimation.
Yeah, there's a huge opportunity cost. And when Rollo and we all say, you know, make yourself your own point of origin. If you don't, and you are a doormat, or you try to be the yes man, and this could be corporate, romantics, or whatever, the huge opportunity cost is you will not realize the best version of you possible, because you're not investing in yourself and doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And, you absolutely, not everyone's cut off for self-employment. Then become the best darn engineer you can possibly be. But yeah, you absolutely should, because if you want to get the girls, you work on yourself. That's pretty, because then you're just a better, easier sell when you're in good shape and you have stuff going on, that if you're some virgin towel living in your mom's basement, that's a really, really, really hard sell. That's you might get sex dolls, but that's a different topic. So.
We'll leave the sex dolls on that. We'll leave that aside for today. Like that 24-year-old kid that called in earlier wants to live with his girlfriend, right? What is he, 24, 25? He wants to live with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. That guy should be using that effort and energy to go find a way to $1 million. That's what I'm saying. Like the ROI on that and the amount of work you're going to have to do is probably going to be a lot lower, and you'll have a far better outcome. You'll have more to show for it too than what you'll get out of living with a chick. That's playing not to lose. You want to play to win. That's what you want to do in life, guys. Go put a dent in the universe. And like Aaron said, if you don't have the entrepreneurial gumption to go do it yourself, be the best engineer you can be. Be the best scientist, or whatever it is that you're in, whatever field you're in. James left a comment here. And again, I can't show up on the screen. I apologize. StreamYard is not letting me do it. But it says, at 52, it seems to be raining women out there. Nowhere near the effort it used to be 30 years ago. So this is a 52-year-old guy that's chasing excellence. And he's saying, it's not hard for me to have, you know, interesting and attractive women in his life. That's really my point. You know, as far as ROI goes and juice being worth the squeeze, the juice that you're going to get out of putting effort into improving your financial life is going to be far greater than, you know, well, how do I vet this woman? How do I get the girls, Aaron?
I would also say, like, achieving true indifference, which I think can only be attained by dating a ton of gals who are just, and you think it's great on paper, and then you actually do it. And that's, I've seen a lot with older men, especially as your testosterone goes down, and you know, I've had sex, I've been there, I got the t-shirt. It becomes a lot easier because you're not worshiping them. You're not obsessing about them. And for once you're actually just you. And again, staying in shape, but by the time you're, you know, your 40s and certainly your 50s, making peak money, you have your toys. You probably have your house paid off, especially if you've played your financial cards right. And then you walk into the bar to get yourself a sandwich. Why? Because you wanted an effing sandwich. You didn't go there to meet a girl. And then all of a sudden, like, well, why isn't he paying attention? Why? And that aloofness, that, it's not that they smell it and they gravitate to it, but you definitely don't have that stench of desperation that drives them away. And then they also, I would even say, feel safe. Like, you're not going to stalk them. You're not going to look them up. You may or may not call them back. And then the intrigue ensues.
We've got election debate going on tonight in Canada. I think ours in Canada. So I got to watch that afterwards. I was just looking at my private chat here from Josh. Okay, Brian, we got you on here in the waiting area. Let's put you on. How you doing, man? You got a question for us tonight?
I'm really good. How do I sound?
Awesome.
Hey, Rach, big fan. Also, thank you for introducing me to Dr. Shanti Smith. You know, you guys have both made a really big difference in my life the last few years.
Thanks, man.
But I live with a buddy. I rent a room out of his house, and we're really close friends. But recently, he's been telling me that, well, you know, he's an entrepreneur, and he opens restaurants, and you know, the last two he haven't really done too well, but this one is doing actually pretty fantastically well. It's a restaurant in a small college town, mm-hmm. and the only thing is, you know, he's gone from, you know, renting an apartment to renting a commercial unit to owning the building, owning his home. He owns, you know, he owes a lot of loans, and a lot of money is going everywhere but his pocket.
Wait, run that past me again. He owns a lot of property, but he owns a lot of loans?
Yeah, so, you know, earlier in his entrepreneurial experience, it was just a lot of cash in, cash out. He was getting a lot of really big returns. And now that he, you know, he owns the building, and he, you know, he has this loan that he's accountable to, all this money that isn't going straight to his pocket is going towards long-term investments. And now he's talking about, you know, dude, I'm not super excited about it anymore. I don't know if I can do it anymore, but if I'm going to continue to do this, I'm going to go on vacation a few times a week. And my thing is, he goes on vacation once or twice a year, and he's like, I can't do it anymore. I need to go on vacation 2 or 3 times this last 2 or 3 months just to get through the day. You know, I can't stand it anymore. So, Rich, you know, and
well, part of the
Cleary, you know, I'm sorry to take over, you know, your second here.
Yeah. Okay. So your audio is breaking up. So I'm just going to mute you for a sec, Brian. Maybe the bandwidth will catch up.
More questions of substance.
Okay. So he's muted. So I'll just unmute you in a minute. But his question basically is, look, I got this roommate that's busting his balls. He's running this restaurant and a few other businesses, but he's not making any cash. Can't take vacations. He's all stressed out. One of the observations that I've made from people in the restaurant business is most of them don't make much money. The margins are pretty slim, and a lot of them fail. It's not a great business to get in to serve people food, believe it or not. But I mean, like, the whole point of a business, in my view anyway, and Aaron, like, I really want to hear your feedback on this because I know you got this mind too. But I mean, the whole point of a business is if you're going to run it, it's supposed to return money to the shareholders. That is the main point of a business. You watch any one of these shows on like Shark's Tank or Dragon's Den or whatever, and you often see these guys come in and they get beat up by, you know, the entrepreneurs, and they're always like running something that's got no profits, it's got no money, but it's some kind of hobby for them, and they think it's got like a $10 million valuation, right? That's not a business. That's a hobby. If it's not making you money, if it's not giving you an ROI on your time into it, you're wasting your time. You need to beat it with a stick and bury it 6 feet under. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, you're 100% right, and your experiences match my own in banking. The percentage of people and business owners that are actually rich are about the same percentages of women that are marriage material. I'd say it's 3%, because in all my banking, I only met two genuinely rich people, but almost half our clients drove in with Mercedes and Beamers. And when you look behind it, you look at their balance sheets or their income statements, they're losing money. And their goal is not really to make a profit. They're just borrowing money to keep this zombie company. Zombie, it's not alive. It's not profitable. Keep it afloat. And it's because they have ego.
It's a whole image thing.
Yeah. And image too, especially you're younger. I mean, you know, oh, I'm going to start a nightclub, and especially restaurants. I mean, the dumbest people start restaurants unless they've been chefs for 30 years and that's going to be their pen. The majority of, because what, Rich, what's the number one reason people start a restaurant?
They want to bring people in and feed them and be popular and have a nightclub and all that stuff, right?
They want to have, they think it was going to be fun. It's like, yeah. Dude, I cannot think of a worse time than trying to serve and prepare food to people. So, along with what Rich said, not only do we, you know, your buddy is probably not making money no matter what he says, no matter what car he drives, but because he's, I'm betting, running red, at least he's probably got a cash flow problem. Yeah, he's mentally taxed. He needs to take all these vacations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, the last 4 or 5 years, he's taken maybe 6 vacations. The last 3 months, he's taken like 4. You know, he's been to L.A. and Paris and Vegas. And I'm like, dude, you need to slow down. You're talking about not having money. And it's like, he doesn't care that he doesn't have money as much as he cares about getting through the next day. Because I don't know. I look at him and I'm like, to start a business three times and have it essentially profit nothing until the third time, and then now you face some sort of barrier. That's the type of barrier that most people, you know, don't even get to that point, because to even open a business, it's, you know, it's impossible. 10% of people succeed.
So it's, I'm like, it's very, very, very hard to get a business to the point of profitable success. And profitable and success are two separate things. I mean, you could measure success on a startup app, right? Like Facebook didn't make money for a long time, but it was acquiring users. So it was successful from that perspective, but it wasn't profitable. But I think the number is something like 97% of all businesses run in North America make under $1 million a year. When you crack the $1 million mark, that's when you're getting into serious territory. You're getting into real serious territory when you're getting over 10 million. And then even fewer, like a very tiny, like a 0.1%, get over $100 million a year in annual revenue. So, I mean, it's not easy to do.
It's not even really viable then, from what you're explaining to me. It doesn't make sense at all.
What's that?
I mean, outside of a franchise chain, a small private entrepreneur opening a food service just doesn't seem...
A franchise chain like McDonald's would probably be successful if you put it in the right spot. It's very hard to fail at something like that, but they're very expensive franchises to buy into. But again, I mean, most franchise owners that you see at the Pita Pit, the Subway joint, you know, the random Tim Hortons coffee shop, they're not making millions of dollars off that one franchise. In fact, a lot of the franchise organizations, like I know Tim Hortons because it's a very popular coffee shop here in Canada. I looked into buying one of the franchises a few years ago, but one of the contractual terms of buying into it meant that you had to work in the coffee shop yourself. You couldn't hire somebody and put them in place to run it. So there's a big drain on time. In my estimation, you're far better off using that time running some other kind of business than anything to do with serving food or drinks or anything like that. Nightclubs might be the rare exception if you know what you're doing.
Right. Let me ask you, you know, he's talking about, you know, selling, you know, just getting enough money to live 6 months and getting out and starting over in something different. Is that something that he should really consider? Because I've really advised against it.
That sounds like something you would pay somebody for an expert to yeah. Honestly, I mean, and here's another thing. Is he going to listen to you?
The guy
sounds so ego invested that he ain't going to pay an actual professional to look at his finances and tell him what to do. I've found other people who are in this situation. They sure as hell don't listen to their friends. You'll lose your friend over this. So I'd even ask whether do you want to bruise his ego, or do you just, because if he's deaf to everything else, including financial reality, he's going to be deaf to you, and he's going to be pissed off that you dare to tell him or give him some kind of advice.
Yeah.
No, that's super wise advice. Yeah. I'll definitely take that into deep consideration. Just one last thing is you know, like I said, he owns the building and he's converting another unit into a night bar restaurant type deal.
Of course.
Right. So it's like, do I go and sell my building and half the construction that's already done? I mean, that's probably, you said, I mean, I should be advising him of that, right? Is what you guys are telling me?
Well, do you have a financial background?
Oh, I mean,
if you're going to tell him anything, Brian, tell him to get more into the real estate business than the food and beverage business, right? Let him buy the real estate and have somebody else run their business out of it. It's a lot simpler for him to do than to try to get food into people's mouths and make a profit off it.
One of the things that, especially if everybody's listening, we have very pro entrepreneurship message we're sending.
They're out there, yeah.
Yeah, one thing I cannot emphasize enough. I've even wrote a post about it. I'm not plugging my post. I'm plugging it so that you read it and you understand. There were two machines that could not be of a night and day difference in World War II. One was a Tiger tank and the other was a P-51. And Rob, can you tell me why the P-51 was a success and the Tiger tank was not? Rich. I'm Rich. Sorry. I was thinking Rob because you got the same beard.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm just going to mute Brian because your audio is not good. Well, the P-51 Mustang was an air superior fighter that escorted the bombers across to Germany, right? That's a very different thing from a tank. The Tiger tank was a German tank, which was superior for what it did, but they couldn't produce them in sufficient numbers, and they weren't reliable enough for them to have any kind of impact. The difference, between that with the German tank and the American fighter was the American fighter was useful in the sense that it protected the bombers and got them over target so they could drop the payload and destroy the war-making capability of the Germans.
Well, the lesson I want people to pull entrepreneurial-wise from the difference between a P-51 and a Tiger tank, the Tiger tank simply had way too many moving parts.
Yeah, it was very complicated.
Way too many moving parts. They lost more Tigers breaking down in the actual battle or running out of gas. The P-51 was awesome because it was cheap to produce. It was simple. You could repair it. You could mass produce it. And that's the thing is if you're going to go into a business, keep it simple, stupid. You don't want a nightclub. You don't want to have liquor licenses. You don't want to have bouncers. You know, and like Rich said, you just want to own the property, collect your rent check, and call it a day. That's really just what you want to do.
Yeah, so I just pulled up a picture here. You can see by the wheel structure, it's kind of hard to see in the visual here. Let me see if I can zoom this in a little bit. But you can see by the wheel structure of what rolls on the tracks, they've got a wheel in front and a wheel in back. And one of the biggest problems they had with this tank, it had a massive gun. Like it would blow through anything. There was nothing that could stop it as far as armor. In fact, the American tanks, when they came at this fucking thing, they couldn't even penetrate the armor unless they shot it from behind. But these things would break down constantly. And what's the point of having the best gun in the business if you can't shoot the bat, the other guys coming in, because you're stuck and you're immobile. It's pointless, right? So there's a little lesson for you. All right, Brian, going to let you go. I'm going to make room for some other people because I know there's some others waiting here to hop on. Going to pull up a few other screens here. And Leo, you're up, man. Leo, you got a question.
Hello, guys. Hey. Greetings from Germany when you're talking about Tiger tanks.
Ah, the gates.
Yeah, the Germans.
Hello, Leute, hello. Okay, yes. I'm doing pretty good. I hope you are doing fine as well.
Good.
And I do actually have a question to the topic. And for the background, I'm 19 years old. I used to go to college, basically, but now I'm becoming a physiotherapist. Is that translated okay? Physiotherapist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And to the topic, I spun quite a few plates and I came to the conclusion that most of the girls that I encountered were really crazy. They were playing games, they were controlling the drama. And is it just because I'm young or is it in general? And also, I realized I cannot train them and I seriously don't want to train them because it's too much effort. Too much work, you're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds pessimistic and it's somewhat is, but I don't want to give up on women, but I also want to know how I can avoid the drama, the controlling, the games, the craziness, if you...
It's par for the course. Your question is that women? I mean, the only difference is they get older and less attractive when they hit the wall, but you're still putting up with pretty much the same crap, right? They don't change that much. I mean, some women mature, some women will learn their lesson, some women will, enter your frame and they'll compliment your life and they'll really add some value. But that's why the emphasis is make yourself your own mental point of origin. I mean, spin the plates. You're in your 20s or you're 19. You want to figure out what the deal is with women. You want to get your head screwed on right when, you want to lay the foundation for the rest of your life. You basically want to build that now. And you don't want these chicks to be a distraction to you. You're going about it the right way and you're experiencing things the right way. But it's par for the course. It's like this all the way around the worst. Women are stressful creatures. They're going to bring drama to your life. If you don't want drama, then don't have women around, sort of thing, right? There's a certain demographic of men that are not going to put up with women's shit, but they still want to be intimate with women, sort of thing, right? And then you kind of move across the scale to the other end where they just don't want to bother women, period, and they'll point and sputter you and call you a pussy beggar. But the reality of the matter is that you're going about it the right way. You're thinking about things the right way. You're asking the right questions. Aaron, I'm going to shut up. Go ahead, chime in.
I was just going to say, Leo, kind of more or less reflecting what Rich says, but I'd say they change a little bit more as they get older. Not a lot, but they improve a little bit But yes, it is absolutely a function of your age. Again, this gets back to what I was talking about. You know, look, you're 19. Yeah. Dude, if they didn't hate you out of high school and now they go to Universitat, they're going to get a lot more. I mean, Lord knows what else they're getting over there. So yes, it absolutely is a function of your age. I mean, it was bad enough in the 90s when I was your age, just getting, you know, flaked on and I won't explain the times before cell phones. It was unacceptable back then, but the reports I get from my clients, from younger people I know, it is a bloodbath. It is horrible. And you gotta, it might sound a little bit arrogant, but as long as you're doing your best and you're doing what's right, you got to know that it's not your fault. Don't take it personally. They are that crazy. Now, what my experience has been, because we're talking Gen Xers, but I haven't dated. I've seen women mature kind of because they have to. Rich, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I think the last time a girl threw a temper tantrum around me was the age of 25. I use that as kind of a litmus test as to where women realized they couldn't get away with that shtick. And so I've never seen a woman 25 or older throw a temper tantrum. So they kind of know. Well, you probably brought it on yourself, Rich.
I actually call it a hissy fit. I don't call it a temper tantrum, but it can look anything like you're having a disagreement over something and they walk out on you, or they don't like something that's going on in the relationship or what you're doing. And they'll be like, leave my shit on the front porch so I can pick it up. I don't want to deal with this. And that's their way of having a hissy fit or a temper tantrum. And I've seen it happen, you know, with women 30s, 40s, whatever. What I was going to say that I was thinking about as Aaron was talking is, you're 19, you're dealing with teenagers, but women are essentially teenagers until they hit the epiphany phase, which is anywhere from like 26 to 30, right? Yeah. Depending on how they're maturing. Like there's lots of 25-year-olds out there that behave like freaking children, but they're 25 years old. And it's not until they have the realization that, oh crap, I'm running out of eggs and I'm almost 30 and my friends are getting married and having babies and I'm not. And I have this degree on my wall and I haven't, you know, advanced further in my career and where I want to be and the patriarchy and all that other stuff. So you're going to see them focus mostly on partying. They're going to be more flaky than women over that age. You know, the benefit is that they're at the peak of their sexual marketplace value, right? Around 20 to 23. That's when they're the most beautiful. I mean, there's women today that I could look at on Facebook that were hot at 23 that looked like they fell out of the ugly tree and had every branch on the way down with their face, right? It's just the reality of the landscape. So just enjoy it for what it is. I mean, you're just seeing, like, man, I wish I had this stuff when I was 19. None of this stuff existed.
The one wish you get.
You know what I mean? Like, give me the genie thing so I can rub it, you know? I want to go.
All right. So your advice is basically enjoy it, take it for what it is, don't deal with crazy, and just take it as it is.
As Aaron would say, enjoy the decline.
Yeah. enjoy the show, but also don't think like at the age of, you know, 28, you're going to have a, they're going to really, they improve about that much, and it's still going to be an uphill battle. It's still going to be a pain in the ass. But yeah, enjoy the show, man. It's there. Just, you know, be careful and don't land in jail. Yeah.
Like, honestly, since I'm in the medical field, kind of, I would say, and the college I was going to was majorly women. It was like 95% girls in my class. Mm-hmm. And that's what really opened my eyes to female nature and the craziness and the stuff that's going on there. Oh my God.
I'm 46 and there's not a week that goes by in my life that I'm like, really? Like this is some new shit here.
Rich, you remember the good old days when we'd be happy that there was a college campus that had 95% women and now it's like, yeah.
No, when I was coming there, I was like, oh, 95% girls. That's cool. That's nice. Yeah. And after like a few weeks, I gave it a few weeks and I was like, okay. Yep, that's not it. That's
how
not
many
it.
Of them look like Angela Merkel?
Well, quite a few.
Yeah, skip those like ones.
Not many good looking there. And
I thought that German women were fairly attractive, no?
Well, they can be, but they are the more attractive, the more arrogant, the more drama, the more crazy, the more games. And yes, that's basically my
struggle. Go after fat chicks then. There you go, Leo.
Yeah, that just goes back to my earlier point is like focus on yourself, build yourself up, build up your business, lay the foundation for the rest of your life, because that's going to have a better ROI than wifing up or LTRing up some, you know, chick with a personality disorder or some problem that she brings to the plate. Mm-hmm. Forget that, man. Way better things you could be doing with your time. All right, dude. Thanks, Leo.
Peace out. Peter Sane.
Okay. Jack, Matt, I'll get to you in just 1 second. There's a super chat here I want to deal with. I got to scroll up. Damien said, hey guys, on the topic of debt and money, what's your opinion on Robert Kiyosaki's approach to attaining wealth via debt? Seems risky, but big payoff. What do you think, Aaron?
I'd have to read it, but I mean, based on what I remember of it over 10 years ago.
That's Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. There was even a game. And you know, for the financial literacy it taught people, God bless them. It's not a book, go read the book, it's fine but what you really got to look out for is bubbles. You have to do your analysis correctly. You have to analyze debt-based investments. Anytime you're investing a life savings or a down payment or you're cashing in your fund, you really have to assess the individual property carefully. And we're nowhere near housing 2008 bubbles now, but there's some peaky markets, local markets, that, you know, what would be good advice in, you know, El Paso, Texas would be the worst advice in Vancouver, Canada. So if you do it right, that's how I kind of quote unquote retired early. I had my house paid off at 42, is I had rental property. But I did it right. You know, I renovated the basement. I slept in the basement. I had roommates when I could. I was a minimalist. so some things I would do that would have improved upon that venture I went through. But the number one thing is you got to make sure it cash flows. I think the game is called cash flow, isn't it?
I don't know. I read the book, but I'm not familiar with the game.
Yeah, I think the game is called cash flow, and depending on where you are, if you're in the United States, learn what a Schedule E is. I mean, I would even take some classes on real estate property management, master the Schedule E so you know how to assess and measure cash flow. That's what I would do. But yeah, otherwise, certainly at the time, it was a good book. I'd still advise you read it today if you're interested in property.
Yeah, co-sign all of that. Making money, like, it's a lot simpler than you think. I think you mentioned this earlier, Aaron, but it's like, don't overcomplicate your life. When you do that, you're gonna make bad choices, and you're gonna get very like difficult results out of it. People that end up with debt in my debt business, it's because they can't do simple math. Like, I make $3,000 a month. I spend less than $3,000 a month. I have a rainy day fund for when it rains, because when it rains, it pours. Same thing with taking on debt to attain wealth or assets. You certainly don't buy stocks on margin unless you really know what the hell you're doing. Some guys not only buy shitty stocks that have no value, but they also end up with the debt at the same time. But real estate, if you do some basic assessment, you can be ahead of the game all day long. I mean, I can borrow money on a HELOC at the base bank rate and get a 10% spread lending it out, right? Like, it's simple math. All you got to do is factor in what the capital gains are that you have to pay, or whatever the taxation rules are wherever you live, and you just make sure that there's some profit there off the top for you. But yeah, Robert Kiyosaki, he's an interesting guy. He's written some decent books, so check it out. But you got to adjust for market conditions today for sure, 100%. Jack, Matt. Jack, you're up, buddy.
Awesome. You guys can't hear me okay, right?
Yeah, you're loud and clear.
Awesome. Okay, real fast. I do realize this question is going to be like way off topic, but I'm 29. I'm turning 30 next year, and I've had my fair share of women. I know I have. But should I still, you know, continue dating and want to continue to pursue women, or should I just, you know, stay in this, you know, monk mode that I'm in?
Well, what's a monk mode, first of all? Like, what are you doing?
Well, I had recently moved out to Las Vegas, and the bank spotted me $16,000 for a travel trailer. So I'm living out of a travel trailer.
Where can do you mind telling me where? I'm intricately familiar with Vegas. I know the trailer parks well.
You do actually. I'm actually camped over here at the Roadrunner on right next to Boulder Highway.
Boulder Highway. Okay, so you're over Henderson Green Valley area.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I stayed at the one south of the Silverton along the interstate for like a month. It was great. It was awesome. But I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go with your question.
So if I understand you correctly, the question is, do I deal with women right now, or do I stay in monk mode and not deal with women?
And focus more on me like I am right now. Yes. And I do realize that's you know, way off of the topic. I do apologize, but it's been a burning question, and I've had
Let me ask you this question. What is the train wreck that you see coming, or what's the potential fallout here of this choice?
If I do, you know, go after women, what would the train wreck be? Mm-hmm. The same that it always has been. They don't necessarily, you know, text or respond back. They lose interest in me somehow, some way. I don't know why. And I'm back to focusing on me, and I'm just back in this monk mode.
Well, I can tell you why. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick here. A lot of people, Richard,
I was gonna say it too.
Dude, you're living in a trailer park. Right? I mean, there's guys that live in a trailer park. What's his name? Matt, you know, that actor. He lives in a Gulfstream.
McConaughey?
Yeah, that guy.
Really? He does?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he's got like a Gulfstream or a Silverstream or whatever it's called. I mean, there's certain guys that... you know, that can get away with it, or they'll set it up as a temporary residence. But like, women aren't going to have a lot of patience. Like, they're going to ghost you at some point if they're like, hey, Jack, Matt lives in a trailer park on the edge of, you know, Las Vegas, right? Like, they're expecting more out of a guy around 30 years old. Monk mode might be a cool place to hang out for the time being, but what are you doing over there? Like, you said that you just moved out there recently. Like, you're starting a new job, you're creating a business. Like, what are you up to?
Yes. Well, I did recently move out here about 5-6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I found myself in the stagehand industry, building stages and creating, you know, everything that the audience sees mm-hmm. or the audience gets to see. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually enjoying it, but I'm not seeing, you know, much as in terms of, you know, the dating scene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not going to have... like, you're not going to be spoiled for choice, right? I mean, you're going to be kind of in that trailer park area. Like, what do the women look like at that level?
Well, right now, a lot of the women here, they're all retired.
Okay, yeah. Well. Henderson, yeah, he's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you got the ability to maneuver. Like, you can live anywhere you want, right? So why are you choosing to live in a retirement community in a trailer?
Because the bank spotted me $16,000 and I just enjoy everything that this 2016 R-Pod has to offer. It is like perfect, you know, for me. And I'm just trying to find someone who can, you know, appreciate it as much as I do and realize that, okay, he does have good potential.
So what you're doing is you're idealizing a woman that you hope will just show up and say, well, Jack, Matt's a nice guy and he's got potential and I'm just going to love him for who he is. But that's not how women work, right? Like, women hang out at the finish line and they pick the winners. So, I mean, if you want to be spoiled for choice, if you're looking for a chick today and on a longer term basis, it's going to bring some value to your life and of higher quality. Like, you've got to offer something in return, right? Like, that's what they're looking for. Like, men are success objects, women are beauty objects. So you got to demonstrate and signal success to them somehow. To answer your question, I'd stay in the whole monk mode zone, but figure out a way to level yourself up in life. Your ROI on that is going to have a better payoff than it is going to be trying to figure out how to scrape some decent morsel of food off the plate that you left out overnight that's kind of rotting with flies, maybe, you know, getting attracted to it. Because that's really the arena that you're playing in. You can't expect women to love you for just who you are, right? It's a Disney movie. Like, that's a bullshit lie that all men have been sold. And sure. And that's when they like tip over into the precipice of going, well deep into the MGTOW, where they get sold by the whole recruitment video BS and sold a bill of sale that all women are garbage and they're just out for your resources, which is true. But to some degree, you've got a lot more control around that when you're making yourself your own mental point of origin, you're chasing your excellence, and you're looking to find a way to put a dent in your universe. You're going to have a hard sell finding a chick that is going to dig your vibe, that you're also going to dig her vibe in the state that you're in right now, close to 30, working as a stagehand in a trailer park with retirees, right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
A bit, yeah.
I know that you don't like to hear it, but all I do is I hold up a mirror and I just point to the facts that are going to reflect back. What do you think, Aaron?
I'll put a little bit more of a positive spin on it, not to discount anything that you said. Dude, you are in one of the best towns ever. You're young. It looks like you're in shape. But also you seem to be way too concerned about women and what they think. Like, oh, they didn't text me back. You know what? F them, too bad. When I go to Vegas, dude, your Black Mountain is right across the interstate from you. Boulder is over there. There's a ton of hiking. You can pick up motorcycle riding. If you could find cheap golf. You're maybe not making billions of dollars, but you make enough. You got, I envy you in a regard because you got this great minimalist lifestyle. And I lived in a trailer for a summer in Vegas. It was wonderful. And I think you're discounting you and yourself and what you got. And I'd imagine some kind of intellectual philosophy went into your life choices all to get the girls, you know, and F them, man, to hell with them. Who cares? Because what's going to happen is you'll turn like, you know, Rich's age, you'll be 73 and you won't be able to hike the mountains. No. And you'll say, why did I worry? I could have hiked mountains. I could have done this. I could have. You can go and get food anytime you want in Las Vegas of any variety. And I would, that's what I would do, man. And don't worry about the chicks. Now, if you want something a little bit more practical on like, how do I get the girls? One, you ever hear of The Tao of Steve?
The Tao of Steve? No, what's that?
No, it's a movie. It's this kind of fat, dopey guy, but he always gets the women. He follows The Tao of Steve, Steve McQueen. And the first thing is absolve all interest. The second thing is excel in front of him. And the third thing is retreat. Dude, you got to absolve all interest in these girls and not worry about it. So what I would do is more along your intellectual lines, maybe join the Libertarian Party in Las Vegas. That you're going to find that type of philosophy with the women there. Try the meetup groups, minimalist philosophy, stuff like that. Don't spend too much time on it. But if I would not go to the nightclubs, I don't even bother. Yeah, just don't even, because they're, well, half those gals are leaving on the next flight out anyway. Yeah. And just focus on you and having some fun. That's what I would do.
A couple of extra final thoughts. One, like, you've got several advantages that you may not recognize, you know, comparing to me. So you're a lot younger. You're better looking. You got more hair, obviously. You've got the ability to maneuver, right? You're able to live a minimalist lifestyle. Do you have any kids?
No.
You know, you got no kids. So, like, you got a number of advantages that are going to be useful to you to leverage, but it's like the whole point of what is the purpose? Like, what are you doing there? And what is your purpose in life? Like, you don't want to walk around rudderless just doing, hey, well, I kind of like what I'm doing and this is fun sort of thing right now. Because before you know it, you're going to be 35. Before you know it, you're going to be 40. And then you're going to get to the point where you're like, well, shit, I'm still living in the trailer park with a bunch of retirees as a stagehand, right? Like, is that what you want to do for the next 10 years? Because what you want to do is you want to lean out in the future of the next 3 to 5 years and then design the life that you want. And you don't necessarily need to plan every single step year by year. But if you design a life that you want and you paint this picture of the life that you want, and then every day when you get up, you make choices that align with this life that you want, you're going to get to it eventually, right? When you find yourself making choices that are misaligned with this life that you want, with this painted picture, and write it down, dude. Make your 8-10 bullet points, write it down, stick it up on the wall, do whatever you got to do, but get some clarity on what it is that you want to do. And make sure that every choice you make every day gets you closer to that goal. Any choice that you make that takes you away from it, stop doing that shit. It's really not that complicated. But forget about chicks right now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does. I got you.
All right, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks for hopping on.
Good luck.
Yeah.
There's a couple of super chats here. How to vet her waiting at the finish line before 1 mil. I'm not sure what that means.
I think before you make your $1 million, is she going to wait for you? Is that what it means?
No, women don't have a lot of patience for, I mean, like, unless you're young. I mean, if you're 19, 20 years old and you've got potential, I'm doing quotation marks here. If you got potential, then yeah, she might go along for the ride, but why would you want to be in an LTR at 19 or 20? AMS10 said, I'm a big fan of Dog Whisper, dog psychology and training owners, but I know it's about making a real dent in the universe. Do the work. Purpose is key. Yeah, that's true. Let's do one more call real quick. Right. We got time for one more. Gary, I'm going to throw you on. You're up.
What's up, Rich? What's going on, Cappy?
Hey, Gary.
What's going on, fellas? So, quick question. I'm 44 years old. Got my stuff together in terms of finances. Have my businesses and things like that. Live in New York City. Have some rental properties all around the city and in New Jersey. But, dated around a lot. Don't have any kids. Don't have any of that stuff. Dated around a lot. Met this girl. She sent out some choosing signals at the gym and all this other stuff. So I went ahead and approached her, after she approached me. And now she's backing off. And she meets all the criteria that I'm interested in. She's a neurobiologist. She's a smart girl. She's, a 7. But, I really like intellectual girls. But now she's pulling back, and I haven't.
She's pulling back.
I don't know. I mean, she's just, so I'm just thinking that maybe this chick is just out of her mind or something, because I have the measurables in the sense of, when you say, Rich, that they like to get, women like to get a guy at the finish line, and I'm, not to brag or anything, but things are, going well when it comes to finances and, every other type of measurable in that sense. So it's just a little weird that she has pulled back and, not showing that interest, which just bothers me.
Okay, so take a stab at it. So why do you think she's pulling back, if you were to guess?
I think, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, we haven't had a whole ton of,
How many dates did you guys go on?
One date. It went well. She told me it went well. But yeah, I don't understand women nowadays. I mean, back
but if in, there's a conflict between the action and the words, you got to believe the action, yeah. Right? So she's saying that she went well. It's like, it's a standard lyric that women will say, even if it doesn't go well, just so she doesn't, hurt your feelings, or she can move on and get out of the date without having to deal with any kind of conflict or animosity or anything like that. So what happened on the date that you think that might have turned her off? So it was just a one date?
It's we went out a couple times. One time for just a quick chat, and then the second time it was on the fly dinner after the gym.
Okay.
She was, I asked her, hey, you want to grab something to eat? She was really down with it.
Did you guys bang?
And I think, we had fun. We talked a lot. I mean, I let her do most of the talking. I asked her a bunch of questions. I didn't say much about myself. She kind of knew some of the things, some things. She asked me about my military career and, what I do for a living and things like that. And then she reached out to me and, gave me some dates as far as, meeting up again, but other than that, I haven't really heard back from her. So
did you guys bang on the second date?
What was that?
Did you guys bang on the second date?
No, we just did some making out. That's about it.
Aaron, what do you think, buddy? This is a how do I get the girls question.
No, it's how do we make sure she doesn't get away? The one that got away. There'd be two things, and only one's going to be germane. The other's just a shot in the dark because it's obscure behavior. It could be the classic, like she's a neurosurgeon or neurobiologist?
Neurobiologist, yeah.
Okay, so she's no dummy. It could just be that, she priced herself out of the market. If she was a nurse or a teacher or something, she'd be banging down your door because of hypergamy and you'd be above her. But I got to imagine she's kind of at your level. Maybe she makes a little bit more. Or maybe she thinks she makes more than you, and like, oh, he, you know, he just owns property or something like that.
She's in research right now. She's not. I don't think she's. You know, she's kind of getting her PhD.
And how old is she?
She's 30.
She's 30, and you're how old? 40 what?
44.
Okay.
That.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
I don't know what the.
Okay. So let me ask you a question because I just want to throw this out here, Gary, because you're 44. So you're about the same age as me. You're almost the same age as Cappy. Why do you dress like you're in your 20s?
I'm just getting back from the gym.
Okay. So the whole hat and the.
Yes.
The vest and the wrist bracelets and all that sort of stuff. That's not your day to day.
That's not my day to day. These are just like wristbands for sweat and stuff like that. But on my day to day, I do not. I wear.
Okay. So you got the pimping style going on. You know how to.
Yeah, I mean, this is just gym stuff, and this company, they're one of my clients, so I get a lot of their free stuff, so I just wear this.
This is like a interesting question. I mean, I'd have to see more. I'd have to see the interaction, you know, between the text, but there's got to be something there. But at the end of the day, who cares, right? I mean, like, you should be spinning plates anyway, so you should have some other options on the go. You should have some other irons in the fire. That's the whole point of it, because if something doesn't work out, you've got something else that potentially will, so you really don't care. You won't click in a show and be like, hey, Aaron and Rich, how come this girl's, you know, bouncing on me? Like, I haven't heard from her sort of thing. Yeah, I got my shit together. I got bank.
It's super it's actually a little bit embarrassing because I have other things, but it's just this one. It's just my attitude that I want to.
Well, a lot of the times guys get pissed off when they get rejected, right?
Yeah,
so this is the one that's – but at the same time, dude, if she's 30 and she's a 7, that means she's going to be like a 5 by the time she's 40, right? Like, what are you looking to do here? You're looking for a chick? You're looking for an LTR? You're looking to wife somebody up and make babies? Like, what are you trying to do?
Yeah, I would – you know, it's getting to that point that I'm like, yeah, it might be, you know, be good to have just one girl and, you know, get to know her and have some you know, build a family and do some things like that. I mean, I've played around a lot, done some things, and, you know, she meets, you know, the intelligence part of it. She's cute, and I could deal with her, and she's, you know, fun to – she was fun to talk to, really. She was just fun to be around.
Okay. So you figured out after two dates that this one didn't pan out. You just drop the number and you carry on with your life, and who cares? Maybe you run into her at the gym and she flirts with you. Dude, there's any number of things that could have gone sideways that made her put some distance between you and her. But a guy coming from an abundance mindset that's got lots of things going on in his life, this would not bother you. Like this should not bother you.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's something I got to internalize. It's like, I don't know why this is bothering me. And that's something I got to – it's a takeaway, I have to say. Well, what am I missing here?
I'd also defend Gary. I mean, we can talk theory all day, but we're all human. And so what? He met a gal he really liked. The chemistry was great. You know, so I could see where there's a little bit of ruining and like, ah, dang, you know, or maybe trying to salvage it. So I could see that. But I'll answer it this way philosophically, because I've seen this before, except in that case, it was a buddy of mine who was dating a gal and he was 50 and he thought of this and then he was going to fall in love and everything was great. And then she just up and left and she never gave him a reason. And that guy was tortured for the next year asking me why I thought she left. And I finally, at the age of 25, to show you again how far ahead I am of my time back then, I said, dude, I won't mention his name. The why doesn't matter. All that matters is what is. And that has served me and other people I know very well, is you can beat yourself up over why, but it doesn't matter. All that matters is what is. And I can almost guarantee you, because I found out more about the gal, you've seen just the best options on this car. You didn't see the oil change or the maintenance. In other words, you're just seeing the best and you're dude, what's the saying? No matter how hot she is, there's a guy that's sick of banging her.
Or yeah, what? I mean, some guy out there that's tired of her crap too.
Yeah, yeah, and so not to, she could have been the perfect one, but it was very, very, very statistically unlikely. And so don't get worked up about it. Accept what the empirical reality is in front of you right now. And for whatever reason, she's pulling back. And then okay, respect that, and then don't lose another wink of sleep over it. Because very statistically likely you didn't miss anything.
I just want to put this up because CW, thank you, you're a new member. He left two important points there. Game, it sounds like you got game going on, right? But you have to be outcome independent when it comes to women. And it sounds like you got some serious ego investments in this chick, because right off the bat, you're like, oh, we had great chemistry and she's really smart and all this. She's a scientist and, you know, I'm a real estate, you know, we make great scientists, real estate owning babies and all that sort of stuff. And it seems to me like you lean too far into the future about like where things might go with this, and you invested too much into two dates. It's too much, dude. Like, you have to have outcome independence with women pretty much at all stages of your life, right? I mean, like, women are not permanent fixtures, generally speaking, in men's lives. It's very fluid. They come and go as they please. You know, they're not loyal, or they're not particularly loyal, you know, for the most part. Like, this is not a good use of your resources. Like, I put out a talk last year, and it was like one of the components that I talked about was managing your F's. I'm not going to swear too much in this because this is the YouTube, but you know, manage your F's and only dispense your F's for things that are truly F worthy. And this is not a good use of your resources, right? A good use of your resources is building yourself up, your business, your self-care, whatever it is that you're looking at, but you've got too much dependence on the outcome with this one scientist, 730-year-old chick. There's lots of other broads out there that'll light you up and blow your hair back.
Right, Rich. Thanks. I appreciate you guys, and thank you for the cold, hard truth. And I gotta,
that's what we do, man.
I gotta take that tip number two and really get outcome independent. But yeah.
Enjoy.
Right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, man.
All right. Best luck, Gary.
All right. With that being said, I think we're going to wrap it up. We're at the 90-minute mark. Guys in the waiting queue, apologize, can't get to you tonight, but the show's on every Monday night. So join in early, because what usually ends up happening is the queue's full towards the end. We got to drop people. So try to join in early. We kick off at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few things before we go. One-on-one coaching. You can reach me at clarity.fm/Richard Cooper. If you're interested in joining my men's community, entrepreneursandcars.com/community, I'll be raising the community membership price in the next couple months. So get in now while it's still an annual membership and it's reasonable. Tactical Soap, the channel sponsor, Tactical Soap and Beard Oil. You get 10% off. You check out with coupon code Cooper. You can also go to coopersoap.com and it automatically applies the code. Aaron, where can people find you? Tell them about your books, what you're up to, your YouTube channel and everything before we bounce.
Yeah, I guess I got two main sites. One's called assholeconsulting.com. So, and it's pretty much, I was very nice by today's standards. Normally you come in there, I yell at you and I curse at you for being stupid. And it's a wonderful thing. My other, I guess, flagship site is captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. And then there's the links at the top where you can find my podcasts. I have two, one called the Older Brother Podcast, another one called the Clary Podcast. And it's pretty standard, me rambling and I bring on a CPA and we talk finance and shop and stuff like that. Otherwise, I guess. Yeah.
You have, keep going.
Okay. Yeah. And then otherwise I've written several books. I guess the flagship ones are the ones that would be most germane to Rich's listening audience would be Bachelor Pad Economics, Curse of the High IQ, Worthless. That's for those of you about to go off to college. And then I would say also Reconnaissance Man, for those of you who are looking like, where do I live? Where do I go? What do I do in life? Get that. That one is a little bit more philosophical, although practical at the same time. And yeah, that's pretty much where you could find me and what I got going on.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me, Aaron. We're back next week. I think Sean's back next week, so he should be available for the show. Aaron, appreciate you stepping in and filling in for today. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
All right. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
See ya.